But here's what he spoke to me. He said, America, why are you so surprised by the conditions of your nation? You wallow in pride, you dabble in witchcraft, and you fornicate with idols, and you wonder why your nation has gone to hell. You act surprised. You blush with no shame, denying morality. You pursue your lusts with total abandonment. These are the days and conditions I warned you about through my word and my prophets, but you rejected both, and now you're surprised by the unfolding events of your world. My church has paraded and flaunted her wealth while, listen to this, while many souls are stranded in the valley of decision, waiting on rescue and reprieve from the horrors of this hour and the hell to come. But my church is sleepwalking into disaster, correction and discipline through judgment. I will have my refined church, my pure bride, my spotless bride, my blameless bride. She will be purged of her impurities and forged into my image by my word and by the pressures of this age. I will have what I want. I have saved the best for the last days, and my church will arise out of the ashes of persecution and perfection. And it's called the forged church. The forged church. And for those of you that don't know what forged means, it's a very early English word that doesn't speak of fraud that was brought in later, but it speaks of forming and pressing by using a hammer or using heat or sometimes not using heat, just beating it into its desired shape and using the power of the hammer to do so. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about now? And so he began to share with me and show me that the church is being forged into the image that he wants it to be, and he will have what he wants. I'm going to say it again. He will have what he wants. It may not look like it right now. The church may be in drag, and the church may be dragging, and the church may be lagging behind, but he has a plan to use what's happening around us in this earth, in this people planet, to bring us to the place of perfection that he saw, that he died for, and he prophesied about. Are you ready to be forged? Go to Malachi chapter 3. Look at your neighbor and say, hang on now. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, the forged church. We're going to go through some stuff, and we're going through things right now, but it's all designed by God to bring us to the place of perfection. I need to reiterate that. I need to get that into your heart. There's people that are watching me right now that don't understand. They're listening right now. They don't understand, why am I going through these things? I love God, and I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. I'm trying to serve him, but I've got problems and pressures, and things are happening around me. I may even be persecuted to a certain extent, and I'm here to tell you, you're in a good spot. Because God is going to use these things. Are you there in Malachi? Malachi chapter 3. Let's begin in verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly, everybody say suddenly, suddenly come to his temple. So the Lord says, behold, I'm going to send my messenger. Now we know prophetically he's speaking of John the Baptist, that John the Baptist came and he was preaching in the wilderness, a wild man, a caveman, if you will. And they didn't know how to accept him because of his wildness and his message. But he was not the Messiah. He was the forerunner. He was the one that was appointed and anointed of God to declare and decree the coming of the Lord. And one of the understandings of preparing the way of the Lord means to remove all the obstacles. Back in the times of the kings, they would send forth a forerunner or a messenger, and he would holler out to the highest of his ability that the king was come and make way, and they would cleanse the roadway of any obstacles so that the king and his entourage could come in safely, and then declare and decree to all those in the villages and the towns round about that the king was in the area. What a powerful privilege it is to be a forerunner. I said, what a powerful privilege it is to be a forerunner. In fact, you are, in the spirit of Elijah and the spirit of John the Baptist, supposed to declare the coming of the Lord. You didn't know that, did you? You don't have to eat wild locusts and honey. You can eat Cheerios and bonbons and still declare, come on somebody, the goodness of God and the coming of the Lord. Oh, you like the bonbon part. Watch this. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Suddenly meaning not being prepared. They were not prepared for his coming because they weren't looking for him. Even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. So again, prophetically, we know that that is already taking place, but it will also take place in a latter time, I should say, in the end times. But watch verse 2. But who shall abide in the day of his coming? Now the prophetic word begins to transfer and translate into another day, into the last days. That who will be able to stand at his coming? Who is going to be able to be faithful in the time of his coming? Who is going to be the one that are the remnant, if you will, the ones that say, Lord, I love you no matter what. If they take everything from me, come on now, if they take my 401k, if they take my freedom of speech, if they take this or that, I'm still going to serve you and still going to love you. Whether I have power like they do in Cuba for only 2 or 3 hours a day, I'm still going to lift my voice at 3 o'clock. And 4 o'clock in the afternoon and bless my God in prayer like Pastor Miguel is doing in Cuba. I'm still going to lift my voice if they're trying to kill me like Brother Oscar over in Nigeria. I'll still go into terrorist-held strongholds and preach Christ Jesus to the Muslims. I'll still lift my voice no matter what's happening around me. I will declare and decree that my God is a good God. But who was going to stand like that? Who are the folks that are going to lift their voice up like a trumpet and shout unto God with the voice of triumph and declare to our nation and to this world that lesbianism and homosexuality is a sin against God and is a crime against nature? Who's going to stand up and declare that fornication and adultery will send you to hell and pornography will send you to hell and drugs and addictions will send you to hell and a life without Christ will send you to hell? Who will stand up and abide in the mighty presence of a mighty God? See, we're looking at future only, but I'm asking the question today, could you abide under the mighty glory of our God today? Only the pure in heart shall see God. Let me try that again. Only the pure in heart shall see God. We haven't seen God yet in America. We haven't seen God yet in our churches. We haven't seen the fullness of the totality of the manifestation of a mighty God. We've just seen bits and pieces and a little bit of a parade and charades in the house of God. We haven't seen the fullness of the Almighty God. Watch this. But who shall abide in the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? Who's going to be able to have a backbone? Who's going to be able to stand in righteousness? Who's going to be able to stand up in the very presence of an Almighty God? I'm going to tell you who in just a second. You should have said me. I said, you should have said me in my heart. It's going to be me. It's going to be me. After I get up off the ground, it's going to be me. Come on, somebody. It's after I get up off the ground and I throw all my crowns at his feet, it's going to be me. Who shall be able to stand at his coming, and who shall, when he appeareth? Watch this. For he is like a refiner's fire. Now watch this. I'm going to read to you now the prerequisite for standing and appearing. Because he's like a refiner's fire. He's going to purge you. Who's going to stand at the coming of the Lord? Who's going to appear before him? Who's going to have the backbone and the ability to rise up in righteousness? It's the one that has gone through the refiner's fire. You've been forged. You've been beaten by the hammer of the word. You've been moved into shape by persecution and by pressures and by problems, but yet you didn't deny Christ. You've gone through hell and back, but your back is better, and you're to the place where God wants you to be. Those are the ones that will stand. He said, he's like a refiner's fire. We ain't seen anything yet in the body of Christ. We haven't seen anything when it comes to persecution. We haven't seen anything yet when it comes to judgment and correction and discipleship and discipline. We haven't seen anything yet because God is going to use what is taking place in these last days for the sole purpose of bringing his church to the place of reaping a final harvest. And how can we reach people in unrighteousness if we're walking in unrighteousness ourselves? And so he's going to take fire. Everybody say fire. He's going to take fire to form us and forge us into what he wants us to be. I don't know about all these slick fat cats that are out there preaching this gospel of ease and prosperity, and there's never going to be a problem in your day, and everything's popping up petunias. I don't know what kind of gospel you're preaching. My gospel that I read in that holy book talks about problems. It talks about pressure and talks about persecution and talks about people hating you and throwing you in prison. Come on, somebody. And even to the death, if it takes that, and all these elements of anti-Christianism to bring us to a place of perfection. That's what I read. I read in the book of Acts that the greatest move of God recorded was due to persecution. I said the greatest movement of God recorded in the Bible, the whole birthing of the church, the preaching of one sermon and 3,000 souls being born again, and a perpetual revival of the great apostles, including Paul, came from persecution. The church was birthed in persecution. And we think we're just going to ease on out of this thing and go to glory land and not have a problem. Honey, we're headed into the refiner's fire. These are one of the things that the prophetic warlocks and witches of YouTube and all these other places are forgetting. God is using his fire for the perfection of the church. He's using all of these things that are happening in the last days for his people, for his church, to become closer to him, to pray like we never prayed before, to intercede, to become on fire, to be bolder than we've ever been before, to speak things the way they are. If we hurt your feelings, I'm sorry, honey, get them off your sleeve and get you a backbone at Walmart, because I've got to tell you the truth, honey. Without Christ, you're going to hell in a handbasket. You need to be born again. You must put down your sin. You must put down your addictions. You can be free by the power of Jesus Christ. Let me pray for you. Let me prove it to you. Is anybody here today? I just don't want to talk about it. Let me lay hands on them. You ought to have a bottle of oil in your pocket when you go to Walmart or in your car or somewhere available and lay hands on people. You better ask them first. You don't want to go to jail, but you know what I'm talking about. Is anybody, maybe jail would be good for some folk. Maybe you finally start doing some ministry. Watch this. I just lost half of you. For he is like a refiner's fire. That's what we need today. We need fire, man. We need the fire of the Holy Ghost. We need to start turning the tables on the enemy. We need to start turning the tables on all these people that are preaching doom and gloom and putting us in a place of panic and freeze and paralyzing the church and say, no, I need the fire of God in my life. Let it get worse around me. It don't make no difference because the greater one lives inside of me. The fire that's happening around me is purifying me. Who can stand? Who can appear before the Lord? Those that have gone through the refiner's fire. Can't get off of this. I can't get off the fire. I love fire. I used to be a firefighter. I still love fire. Is anybody here? I love fire. I don't try to start them intentionally, but I love fires. I love to see the burning of it. I love to see the transformation that fire does, and I like to get warm by it. Come on now. You see, the earth needs fire. The world needs fire. The world needs the Church of Jesus Christ being on fire. The problem with us today is we're on fire politically, but we're not on fire prophetically. We're not on fire for God. We're on fire for our teams, and we're on fire for sports and entertainment and stuff, but we're not on fire for Jesus. We're on fire for money. We're on fire for goods and things that make us happy and trinkets and all the entertainments of life, but we're not on fire for Jesus. You say, how do I know? Because the way you can tell if you're on fire is the person next to you is on fire too, because you can't get near fire without getting fired up yourself. Is anybody here today? And we can tell that the church is cold. There's no boldness anymore. We're so afraid. We're not telling it like it is. We don't want to offend nobody. We don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. Honey, you're going to hurt people's feelings whether you say something or not. You're going to offend somebody. I might as well offend you real good. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it real good. I'm going to rub it down real good so you know I've offended you. Is anybody here? There will be no question you've been offended. And the reason you're offended is because truth is in your face and you don't like it and you've been lied to so long you got hit upside the head with a 4x4 of truth, not a 2x4, a 4x4 of truth. Oh man, I'm feeling good this morning. I love the fall. And who shall stand when he appears? He is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. Listen to me now. He's a fuller. So what is that talking about? That was the most caustic soap of the time. It was laundry soap. Come on now. So not only are you going to get burned up, you're going to get cleaned up. Come on now. The fire of the Holy Ghost begins to clean out the impurities and the things in our lives and the addictions of our lives and the thoughts of our lives and the lukewarmness of our lives. And it brings us back to that place of vibrancy and victorious living. The fire does that. It takes out all the dross. But then once the dross is taken out, then here comes the fuller soap. Here comes bath time, baby. Here comes the time that you get a little rub-a-dub scrub behind your ears. Come on. You get all cleaned up by the power of this laundry soap. That's what we need in the house of God today. We need our preachers to put down all of their GQ type of living and Hollywood wannabe and Motown has-beens and all these different things and go get you a bar of soap. I didn't say Irish Spring. I didn't say go get you some Dial. Go get you some laundry soap. Now, in my house, we have laundry soap that we use for tough stains. It's a big bar of soap. How many ladies know what I'm talking about? It's a laundry soap. You don't put that on your body. You put it on your clothes. You got some grease on there, get you some laundry soap and rub it with that bar of soap. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? That's the way we used to do it in the old days. That's the way they did it with old rubbing board. Come on and get that thing on out of there. We ought to have that in the house of God. See, you say, Pastor, I don't like all that stuff. Honey, I'm talking about symbolically with the Word of God. When you have somebody preaching to you truth, when the Word of God is preached to you and you read the Word like it's supposed to be read, that water of the Word begins to wash you. That soap of the Lord begins to cleanse you and your life becomes renewed and refined, and you're able to stand before the presence of God. I never said you're going to be perfect. You're going to have a little spot here, and you're going to have a little wrinkle there. But God is going to forge His church. He's going to bring us to a place of perfection, and He's going to use all the crazy caustic stuff of the world to do it. And you'll wonder why your life seems to be upside down. You'll wonder why you're in that tumble cycle. Come on, you're in that spin cycle. You're in that deep wash cycle, and you can't figure out why God is allowing me to go through these things and see these things. I don't understand what's happened to me. Honey, what's happened to you is Malachi chapter 3. God is allowing that refiner's fire to come in your life, and he's becoming that fuller's soap to you. Why? So you can be pure and stand before him in that day. I'm telling you, that's what's happening in the church. Had nothing to do with your salvation. Of course, you're washed by the blood of the Lamb, and your name's written in the Lamb's book of life. But how many of y'all know we get dirty living in this life? But we don't have preaching anymore that brings us to a place of conviction and conscience, a place where we think about what we are and what we have become. No, we think about all the excesses of life and the extremes and what I want and what I wish I had. Instead of saying, God, I'm dirty. God, I'm dirty. Listen to me. You don't have to be hooked up in pornography or any other type of vice of life. You just walk through life in general and you get dirty. Come on, somebody. Think about all the thoughts you thought when you went into Walmart. Before you even got out of the car, you wanted to run somebody over. You already committed murder in your heart. Is anybody with me today? Then you got to shield yourself from the half-clothed pajama crew. I'm like, you're in Walmart. Finish the outfit and buy some more clothes, baby. It was over there Saturday, and I didn't even know what this one person was wearing, but there wasn't much more to think about or to imagine. You got to wash yourself and say, Lord God, I don't want none of this in my mind. Walking around there, and everybody dressed up and costumes and stuff like that, and that's not even on Halloween. They already dressed up. Y'all catch that later. It's insanity. But you go through these things. You can't even go through the checkout counter without looking at a magazine of a half-dressed person. Or whatever life is and whatever life does to us. But Lord, I want to be clean. I don't want to think that way. I've seen it, but I don't want to take part in it. And I heard it, but I don't want to be a part of it. I thought it, but I don't want it to be a part of my life. Lord, cleanse me. I live in an unclean world, Lord. I didn't pray like I should. I didn't read the word like I should. I should have spent time with you. I knew you wanted me to witness, but I didn't witness. I know there's tracts at the back of this church that are free, but I failed to pick them up and give them out like I should. Lord, cleanse me. Forge me into what you want me to be. I'm telling you, the things will only get worse in life, in the world, because it's a prophetic revealing of truth. Jesus is coming. You talk about a great reset and all these different things. Honey, this will be the ultimate reset when his kingdom comes and his will be done. What do I do in the process? I just go through the washing. I go through the refining, and I prepare myself for the coming of the King. Come on now. I prepare the way of the Lord in my life and say, Lord, remove from me anything that's displeasing to you. Remove from me the attitudes and all the things of my life. Forgive me, Jesus. I don't know about you, but the closer I get to the Lord, the more I repent. I'm going to preach to you now about holiness. Because in holiness, the closer you get to God, the more you realize you're dirty. Everybody looks good at dark time. Come on, some of you lounge lizards that know what I'm talking about of the past. You never would have brought home that in the daylight. Sarah, help me now. You never would have married or hooked up with that. If you would have known the truth of it all, you'd be amazed what Maybelline can do and a beard can do. Come on, somebody. And a fifth of Jim Beam. It'll change your reality and make you goofy and make you do stupid things. Lord, cleanse me of youthful lust. cleanse me of the things. And the closer I get to the Lord, the more I repent for my attitude and the things that are going on in my life, because I get closer to the light and towards the fire of His presence. And I recognize and realize that, Lord, I'm undone. I'm living in a land that's unclean. And Lord, I've got the mess of the world on me. I've walked through the puddles of life, and I want to be like You. I said, I want to be like You. I'm not preaching some type of perfection to you that you've got to cross every T and dot every I of life. We're not talking about some religious robotic lifestyle. What we're talking about is taking what is around us and saying, God, I recognize and I realize the times are at hand. The revealing of the Lord is coming. God, refine me so that I can stand. God, if I do not have Your ability in these last days, I can't stand. There's people in the church today that can't stand. There's people listening to me right now that are out of church because they can't stand what was happening around them, and they've given in and given up. I'm not giving in, I'm not giving up. I love the church. I'm not going to give up on the church. I'm going to find me somewhere. I'm going to find me a place to put my feet and to be blessed by. I'm so glad for live stream and for media, because we have so many families that have put their feet underneath this table. And I'm so glad for that. It doesn't always have to be a building, and you know that. For He is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. And He shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. Now notice this, He's a smith. He's a smith. He's cleaning up. He's fixing some stuff up. He's making some things white as snow. How am I going to stand? I got to go through the fire. I got to go through the soap. I've got to let Him refine me as silver. I've got to get all the impurities and the dross out of my life. See, I wish the church would catch hold of this message and stop parading around in this nationalistic Christianity and this neo-Marxism that's happening in our country today, and the insanity that's taking place with emperor worship. Oh, you think I'm crazy? Emperor worship is happening in our church today, and God is going to refine us. He's going to allow that persecution, because I'm telling you, what is happening is the enemy is using and hijacking the church to bring us into persecution. It's all by design. It's all planned. You watch and see. This craziness will snap back at the church and will bring persecution. You watch and see. It's already happening. It's absolute insanity what's happening with emperor worship in our country today. You have friends and family right now that are mesmerized by political entities, and I don't care which side of the aisle they're on, they're just crazed with this desire of winning back this terra firma, this earth, to some entities for some policies that are, whether they're good or whether they're bad, they trumpet over the Word of God. And that, my friends, is insanity, and you're not reading the Bible. Is anybody with me today? He's going to purify the church. I'm telling you, it's happening right now. There's a new book that it's out. I got to read you the name of the guy so you don't think I'm crazy. His name is Helgard Mueller. Helgard Mueller. I like the name, Helgard. You're guarding hell for sure, Mr. Mueller. He's written a new book. You ready for the title? He's written the book. It says, President Donald J. Trump, the Son of Man, the Christ. Is anybody here with me today? And I want to break this microphone in half and scream as loud as I can, because I've already did it in my prayer time. It's absolute insanity. It's blasphemy that's happening in the church today. And I'm not saying that everybody that supports a certain entity politically flows this way or leans this way. But this is the type of trash that's being preached and taught, even in churches, that He is the Son of Man and the Christ. And I would run so far as I possibly can from anybody who has this crazy ideal, this absolute lunatic mindset, this Luciferian thought, because it is the same thoughts of Lucifer, to equate man with God, which is an impossibility. I'm not even going to give any more credit to the book, but just know this, this is out there. This is out there, and this is what the church is consuming. Not all, but some are consuming. And this is why you have politicians who are being assaulted and all these things that are happening around this. But watch this. The reason I brought that out is there's a purification coming to the church that God is going to use these things and these fringe elements of the church, and he's going to cause fire to come to the body of Christ and use it to refine us and to be a soap that cleanses us from the craziness. And there will be a distinction between the true remnant who are on fire and this false pagan Babylonian beast church that is rising up right before your very eyes. And that is their doctrine, is emperor worship. And if you don't see that people could be fooled into taking a mark or fooled into worshiping a person called the Antichrist, it is right here happening right now before you. And I don't know what else to tell you. There is only one Son of Man. His name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. There's only one Son of God. His name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, and the sea and the grave will give up their dead, both small and great will fall before the very throne of God and be judged out of a book called the Book of Life. And if your name is not written in that book, come on somebody, you will be cast into the lake of fire forever. That's what the Bible says. I will never kneel to a man. I will never kneel to an entity. I don't care if it's one side of the group calling Obama the Messiah or another group calling Donald J. Trump the Christ. I will not bow to a man. There is no other God but Yahweh, the only God of heaven and earth, the creator of heaven and earth. I will serve him, and him only will I serve. This has gone to insanity inside the church. You better rid yourself of any thought, of any pollution, of anything, of such blasphemy. He's going to purify. Watch this. And he shall purify the sons of Levi. Notice this. Who does he start with? Who's he talking about? The priesthood. I'm going to purify the house of God. Let them fall. Let the men fall. Let the men of God fall. If it needs to happen, if they need to be exposed and they won't repent, because I promise you, any man that you read about or woman that's exposed in the headlines of today or tomorrow is because they did not listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit that, number one, convicted them. They did not listen, number two, to the accountability of prophets around them. Number three, they did not heed the warning signs. And then finally, God has to bring them to public embarrassment. That's part of the Levi, is being purified. And I say, Lord, let it happen. Let exposure come. Go ahead and deal with them. Deal with those charlatans and witches and warlocks who are mesmerizing your people with trinkets and entertainment and promises of a fruited life, a plentiful life. Father, expose them for the hypocrisy. Expose them for the homosexuality behind the pulpit and lesbianism and embracing abortion and all the other things of illicitness. Lord, just expose them. I don't have no problem with that. You say, well, you're hard-hearted. No, I don't want them to die and go to hell. I don't want them to be destroyed forever and to never look towards Christ again. I want them to fall to the place of humility, to where they finally recognize and realize you ain't all that in a bag of chips, that it is Christ and him crucified only. He is the King of all kings. He's the shepherd of our souls. He's a captain of our lives. That's what I want. I want man to look up and see his glory and to protect the house of God. I love the sheep. I don't always understand sheep. Come on, somebody. I don't understand sheep. I try to feed them and they don't show up sometimes. I don't understand, but I'm still there to feed. Is anybody here? Because I'm faithful to you little ones that are here. As long as you're here, I'll be here. Is anybody with me? Watch this. You're supposed to say, I'm here. The sons of Levi, I'm going to purify them. I'm going to work on the church. I'm going to work on the preacher. I'm going to work on the man of God. I'm going to work on the woman of God. I'm going to work on my peoples. I'm going to work on my staff. I'm going to work on my leaders. I'm going to get to work on those that stand behind the sacred desk and preach gospel news. I'm going to deal with them. I'm going to purify them. The Apostle Paul talked about them being the lowest, the apostles, those that are leaders of the church, and they lead the body of Christ. They're the lowest, it seems to be. Even he couldn't understand the trials and tribulations in which he was afforded and he was gifted. But guess what? He said, I'm content in all things. I recognize and realize he's called us to be the least of it all. See, we need that. That's why I know the church is not, I'm going to preach this real hard. I know the church is not near where God wants us to be as a forged church, because I can't find any humble shepherds. All I find is hot shots. All I find is GQ wannabes. All I find are Hollywood stars and people that want to be somebody someday. Come on now. You got 80-year-old men still wearing tight jeans, thinking they're all that in a bag of chips. You might be a bag of prunes, but you ain't a bag of chips. Is anybody here today? And I don't mean dungarees. I'm talking about they want to wear them skinny jeans. Baby, there are some clothes that weren't made for man, let alone animal. But I'm going to purge them. And so I know that man in the church is not where it needs to be, because I don't see enough purging. I don't see enough pastors changing and coming to a place of holiness and a place of humility and saying, God, I love you and I love your church. I'm married to the church. I love the church, Father God. Oh, they're abusive sometimes, and sometimes they're adulterous, and sometimes they don't show up, and sometimes they leave me hanging at the altar. But God, I'm married to the church. I'm not looking for a Hollywood contract. I'm not looking to make it big in real estate. I'm not trying to make it big in this company or corporation. I'm married to the church and I love her. Come hell or high water, I'll be there as a shepherd. I'll bless her and I'll teach her and I'll be there for her 24/7, 365. When no one else will be there, God, I will be there, because I'm a shepherd. That's what a real shepherd is, not a hireling that runs and goes from one field to the other wherever there's better food and better money and better stuff. That's a hireling. Is anybody here? I'll stay here as long as you let me. I said, I'll stay in this pulpit as long as you let me. As long as you show up, I'm going to preach this blessed truth and declare it. You might even just bury me out in the back somewhere. I'll still be here. Is anybody? I'm just messing. I'm not going anywhere unless the Lord says. Watch this. He says, I'm going to do what? I'm going to purify the sons of Levi. So my priesthood's going to be purified. That's the first thing you need to know when it comes to the final harvest and revival. There will be a purifying of God's leadership. I say he's going to fix the staff. Begin with me. Lord, begin with me. Purify me. Whatever it is, take out of me the dross. Take out of me anything, Lord. Forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. Cleanse me. I'm not Mr. Perfect. I'm close. I got one laugh. I got one amen. Nowhere near perfect, but Lord, purify me. I don't want anything to keep me from being forged. Watch this. Purge them as gold and silver. Don't have time to go through the process, but all of us have been through high school. Well, some of y'all have been. Reform school is kind of like high school. Y'all catch that later. I graduated the sheriff's home. Well, good. I got a GED. Great. How many of y'all know we understand what happens with gold and silver? It goes through fire. It goes through the pressure and the process. And God, again, is trying to get the church, the remnant. I'm not talking to everybody because there's a whole lot of knuckleheads out there. There's a whole lot of people that are caught up in the book I just told you about. There's a whole lot of people just caught up in this political emperor worship. They're not even hearing what I'm saying. But the true church that hears the voice of God, that hears the word of God, they recognize and realize that God is speaking to them in this hour, in this moment, that he is using these things that's around the world to purify. Look, when people hear about the wars and rumors of wars, they all trip out. As soon as Ukraine and Russia went to war and all this stuff, people freaking out. This is it. Armageddon. Can't even say Armageddon. Armageddon. It's what it is. I'm telling you, it's Gog and Magog. They're all getting together. It may be a precursor, and I'm only making fun for a reason. It's a precursor, not for me to get panicked, but for me to get purified and said, oh, Lord, I see it. I see what's happening in there. I see what's happening in China and the China Sea. I see what's happening, Lord God, over in Iran and Israel. I can see these things taking place, Lord, what's happening in our own city streets. I see the nations of the world are volatile, and they're about to explode. Well, I'm not going to panic by it. I'm going to look at the prophetic word of God. I'm going to say, okay, Lord, you're coming. You're coming, Jesus. Your appearing is soon. Your appearance is soon. So what do? I'm like John the Baptist. I prepare the way. I make way for the Lord. I preach truth and get stuff out of the way and get people out of the way. Come on now. And doctrines of devils, and try to bring the church and corral it into a place and a position to receive. And to stand at his appearance. See, this is going over some deaf ears in this in a lot of communities, because folks, what I'm saying, brother, I'm saying, preacher, man, I'm going to heaven. Man, my name written in the Lamb Book of Life. Well, I'm glad for that, but what are you doing, bro? What are you doing for Christ? What is your life about? Right. Well, I'm saved, man, my name written in the Lamb Book. Well, I'm glad. Hey, woohoo! 30 years ago was good. The ink should be dry by now. Do something. You still smoking, drinking, still watching pornography. You're still doing all the things you did when you got saved. You just do it better. I feel good. I don't care. Purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in what? Righteousness. Why are they being purified? So that I can bring an offering to the Lord in righteousness. There's some prophetic truth about this in the final days in the millennial kingdom, all those things, but there's also truth to today that I can bring to God his church in righteousness. I can bring an offering to God and say, God, here's your people. We've preached to them truth. We've brought holiness to them. We exampled holiness to them. We set an example of holiness. Here it is, Lord God. Here's my offering of righteousness, my life. Lord, is an offering of righteousness. I didn't go the way of the LGBT barbecue group like many churches did. Lord, I stayed faithful to the purity of marriage. I stayed pure to the understanding of the revelation of holiness and consecration unto God. Lord, I've done my best to keep covenant with you. Here's my offering of righteousness. Verse 4. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord. Now watch this. That means there's an offering that's not pleasant. If it can become pleasant, that means there's something that wasn't pleasant. But what happened? The purifying of the refiner's fire and the fuller's soap and the purifying of gold and silver made it an offering of righteousness that became acceptable. See, I don't believe you're a true Christian if you never come to God and say, God, make in me what you desire, cleanse me with your word, I present my life to you as a living sacrifice. I don't believe you're a true believer if you don't, at least at some point of your life, at least if it ain't daily, occasionally, once in a while, hey, when you think about it, go to God and say, God, forgive me. Forgive me. Just forgive me. Lord, I said some stuff. I acted a certain way. Forgive me. I doubt your salvation. I doubt your relationship with God. If you're always right and everybody's wrong. Believe me, I'll repent constantly. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant. So right now it ain't too pleasant, is it? Unto the Lord as it was in the days of old, as it was in the former years. Again, speaking of something towards the millennial, but also a precursor of this hour. And I will come near to you for to judgment. And I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers. So he says, I'm going to come near to you in judgment. What does that mean? Watch this now. So as I begin to allow the purification to take place first in the priesthood, then it begins to come down into the offering, into the church, and we become together unified and walking in pureness and holiness before God. He says that he'll bring that judgment. In other words, he will stand on our side in the times of wickedness. He will stand on our side in the times of judgment. That's why I'm not afraid what they're doing over in Ukraine. I'm not afraid of what's happening overseas. I'm not afraid what's happening right down the road. Come on, somebody on a big city. I'm not afraid what's happening in Washington, D.C. I'm not trembling about the governor's race coming up here in this state. I'm not worried about what's happening in 24. Is anybody here? Because God will be there in the time of judgment. Read it one more time so you can see I'm not playing with you. And I will come near to you to judgment. The translation is not too good, but it means he will be there in judgment. He will judge, in other words, not judge against you, but judge for you. I'm about to run around this place. You're going under, Mr. Faragoth. No, I'm not. I've already been judged. And the judge said, I'm going over. You're going to die. No, not because the Bible says I'm going to live and declare the works of the Lord. That's what my judge told me. That's what my great physician told me. Well, they're going to lose this. You're going to lose. Nuh-uh. That's not what the judge said. It's one thing when an arresting officer tells you something. It's another thing when the judge says something. Right. I'm going to run around here. Right. The law may say one thing, but the judge can interpret the way he feels like he should be judged and interpreted. Did you know that? Oh, come on, somebody. This is good preaching. I'm feeling pretty good this morning. And I might get this CD. And I will come near to you to judgment. Then he says what? And I will be swift. So you know it's a term of protection he's talking about, because now he's talking about what he's going to do. And I'll be swift against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against the false YouTubers. No, it doesn't say that, but it's part of it all. And the adulterers and against the false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling and his wages. All y'all that work for a devil, guess what? God's going to take care of you. The widow and the fatherless and that turn aside the stranger from his right. That's a whole nother message. And fear, watch this, not me. So the category of people he just put out there are those that don't fear God. But those who fear God get the judgment of God. In other words, I get the blessing of God, of him siding on my side, and I get the verdict that says he's acquitted. But those that don't fear God, you're going to pay a lot of problems. You're going to have a lot of problems. You're going to pay hell. Or as they used to say, there'll be hell to pay. But see, we don't want to hear none of this stuff. That's too hard preaching. That's too rough. Honey, that's just the bottom line. That's just the way it is. That's the way life really is. And if God is for you, who could ever be against you? So why am I worried about everything happening around me? I need to be concerned about what's happening in me. God, what's happening in me? Lord, I'm vile. My mouth, my thoughts, my attitudes. God, it's me. Help me. Help me get it right. Help me to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Help me when I'm having a bad day. Listen, there's nothing wrong with having a bad day. It's how you end the day and what you say to God at the end of the day. But many a times I've put my head in that pillow and said, God, forgive me. Just forgive me the way I've been. Forgive me for what I've said. Forgive me what I've done. If you don't do that, well, you must be awesome, man. Pray for me. You're perfect, because I'm not perfect. I am far from it. Watch this. I know you like hearing that, but, and I'll be a witness against them. That watch this, that fear me not, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Isn't that funny? We're preaching a message in today's church that changes always. One minute we're against gay marriage, now we're for it. One minute the church is standing up for holiness and righteousness, now we can shack up. You know, you might as well try it before you buy it. Help me. Use it before you live with it. I mean, you know, let's just you know, do what we want to do, and God understands, man. I mean, it's all good. It's all good, man. Grace got you covered, baby. He says, I change not. So why is the preaching changed in America? Why are we changed? You change because you've been lied to. You've been duped. You've been bitten by the snake. You've been bewitched, preacher man. And you're preaching some other gospel. You need to be forged again. You need to go back under the hammer and under the fire and let God deal with you and transform you and translate you. That's what the fire will do for you, baby, to get all that dross out of that crazy theological teaching you got from the cemetery that you went to. I mean, the seminary you died in. Your classroom was a coffin and didn't even know it. And then you're preaching deadness to a people that are dying and going to hell in your own congregations. I hope you're listening to me, preacher. Anybody that thinks they're a preacher called to ministry, come on, let's get this thing right. I love you too much to not say it to you. For I am the Lord and I change not, therefore your sons of Jacob not consumed. Aren't you glad? You're going to get burned, but you ain't going to burn out. You're not going to burn up, baby. Get to the fire. Don't be afraid of the fire. It amazes me, when I was a firefighter, everybody run from the fire. I ran into it. I still run towards it. Don't bother me. People freak out. I won't mention the names, but there's a person I know that if I light a match, they're looking for a fire extinguisher. I'm talking about my wife. I'm like, it's a match, but it could catch on fire the whole place. I'm outside. Yeah, but haven't you seen? I'm only picking on her. But she knows it's the truth. But preacher people, they don't want to get near the fire. They don't want to get around fiery preachers. They'll listen to me on the radio or whatever, but they won't get to the house of God. They don't want to get near fiery preachers. Give me Pastor Sophie. Give me soft pretzel. Give me that guy. Give me cream cheese, Pastor Cream Cheese and cottage cheese and give me skim milk. I mean, they want everything soft and easy. I'm lactate intolerant. Give me. I can't do it. I can't go there. He's just too rough. He spits everywhere. I don't like fire. I mean, there's people that's just that way. They don't like. And you say, well, can you have an attitude that, you know, it's not on fire? Yeah, I mean, you could be dead and still go to heaven. I mean, you know, you could still be a person that's emotionless. But I think that once you get near fire, something happens to you. Come on now. Once you get near fire, something attracts you. How come that when there's a fire in town, everybody and their mama's driving up there? The fire department's got to do all they can do to move you out of the way so they can fight the fire. You're over there gawking and looking. Look at the fire. But when it comes to the house of God, nobody wants to be around the fire. They want to quench the preacher by folding of the arms and the staring and the yawning and the moving of the keychains and, come on, somebody, in the purse and all these different things and just snarling at them. That's why I don't even look at you. You think I'm looking at you when I preach? I'm looking at the wall. But you can't tell the difference. I've learned that years ago. Don't look at people. They're scary. I mean, you might as well get a lemon as soon as you pull in here and suck it down while you're listening. I'd care less. I'm going to preach the same because I got to stand before an almighty God, not you, lemon face. Well, just, you know, stare him down. Well, stare me down. Care less. I'm not even looking at you, you ugly thing. Watch this. Watch this. Just hang on. Don't get all mad. You've already took your offering. For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore your sons of Jacob are not consumed, for even from the days of your fathers you have gone away from mine ordinances. Where'd you go? Away from what? The word. You've gone away. You've wandered. You followed some Dr. Feelgood, some Oprah, some political entity, some has-been general. Come on, I can name all kinds of folks. You just follow all these crooked preachers, and you got away from the Word. You got fancy. The church got fancy. Church had to move away from the railroad tracks. Thank God we're by the railroad tracks. They had to move from the railroad tracks in the housing department area so they can be up on a hill somewhere so all the rich country folk can come see them. I ain't got nobody to help me. And it's the truth. And then what happened to the inner cities? They went to hell. They were going to hell because the church left hell. There's so much to preach about this in America. If we would have just stayed there, maybe it wouldn't be so bad. But somebody's got to fill the void and the vacuum, and that's the devil. That's what he specializes in. Watch this. Where am I, man? I'm at the ordinances. If not kept them, return to me. Return unto me. That's a good word right there. And I will return unto you. Isn't that fair? Saith the Lord of hosts. But we said, where how shall we return? Well, a man robbed God. Watch this. You have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed you? So he's talking about returning back to them, them returning back to God and the reconciliation. But then they get up with this prideful attitude, say, how we've robbed you, God. That's how the church is. The church is like, I'm saved, so what have I done so bad? I'm here today. I came, preacher. I put on some foo-foo and some clothes. I'm glad for both. You might need a little extra foo-foo. In some church, you need a little extra clothes. But I did all these things, God. How did I rob you? Watch how God goes to the very heart. Malachi 3 is talking about the heart. Watch this. Where have you robbed me? Where have you robbed me? He says, where have we robbed thee? He said, in tithes and offerings. Now, tithe and offerings, we know, is speaking of 10% of your sanctified gross income. I'm not going to argue with people. Tithing was before the law and back of Genesis and on spoke about it in the New Testament. Tithe is a commandment, is a blessing of God to give, and offerings as well. But the whole point of Malachi chapter 3 in this particular verse is speaking of the heart. The heart. Why? Because John chapter 3 verse 17 talks about that if we don't take care of the poor, and I'm paraphrasing, those that have without, then how do we show that we love God if we don't do those things? In other words, it's a barometer. Your giving is a barometer for the love of God. Because you love, you give. And 10% is just the minimal. And it's not that bad as folks make it out to be. Once you learn how to give and get over the crying about it, you just can't outgive God. I've been doing it over 30 plus years, my wife and I, we just can't outgive God. It's impossible. The more I give, the more I get, because he's faithful. Is anybody with me? Because why? What are we doing with what he gives? We're helping the poor. And a man who gives unto the poor lends unto who? God. And who pays you back? Not the poor, but God. And I think his bank account is much bigger than some political entity. I'll just leave it at that. Watch this. You're cursed with a curse. You have robbed me, even the whole nation. Bring you all the tithes in the storehouse. Why? What's going to happen? That there may be meat in mine house. Do you think God needs to eat your hamburger? Do you think God needs your food, your beanie weenies? Do you think God needs your money to go pay the next food bill up in heaven so the angels can eat angel food? I don't think so. He's needing your obedience, and your obedience is tied to your money. And with that, he feeds the nations of the world through people who love him and love his creation. You see, the church has to be forged into this. This is why I know we're far off, because we spend more money on dog food than we do on world missions. We don't care about the poor. We want to fight about it. We want to get somebody in an office to legislate something about it, instead of going out there and feeding the poor and helping the folks in the name of Christ. And it begins by giving like you're supposed to. If you're watching me right now and listening to me, you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He wants his way with you, and that's for you to be born again, your name to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It is that simple to repent of your sins, ask him into your heart, and turn, and he will cause you to walk in righteousness, and your name will be written in that wonderful book. If you're backslidden, and this is applied to you, and you're as cold as ice, and you wallow in the mire of the churches of today, and you have no fire, today's the day to get with the refiner's fire and the fuller soap and say, Lord, cleanse me. Just take a minute today and say, Lord, cleanse me.